Let's read together first in 1 Kings chapter 17. And I just want to read just a few verses. And I'm going to read the ending first. And it begins there in verse 14. And we're going to read down, if you would, to verse 16. The ending of one of the finest stories that you'll find concerning mothers. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Lord, bless the reading of your word this morning. As we think about our mothers today, those living, those who have gone on, Lord, we're mindful of the fact that we have given to us a wonderful and precious thing in mothers. And Lord, I pray that as we celebrate Mother's Day today, however we do it, that we be mindful to remember that this is your gracious gift. So please, Lord, enlighten our mind at this hour to your word. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Again, I want to talk about mothers, and I want to talk about this lady here that we find in chapter 17. And she is the widow, if you would, of Zarephath. There she is, and God has commanded this widow in verse 9 to sustain Elijah. Where Elijah had been, the ravens had been feeding him bread and flesh in the morning and in the evening, and he drank from the brook Cherith. But there was a day that the brook dried up, and there was no rain in the land, verse 7. And the Lord told Elijah to go to this lady of Zarephath, this widow, and there she would sustain him. Well, he went down there, and when he got there, what he found was this woman wandering around, searching for some sticks. And he called to her in verse number 10 and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to get that water, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Such was the famine in the land where she lived. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Now she just said, "Hey, listen, my current situation is that this is it. And once I fix this, we're going to die." Her principal situation is she's in a famine. There's nothing to eat. She's got just a little bit left. And here is this man asking for it. Well, she could have said, "Hey, you go get your own stuff." But here is the thing that Elijah says that changes everything. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel," verse 14. I don't have to even read the rest of it, but I will. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste." In other words, neither shall it empty, or shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. In other words, you're going to have plenty to eat until it rains. And so she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And the Bible says she and he, that's Elijah, and her house, did eat many days. Now, this woman had trouble beyond belief, believe me. First, her husband had died and left her without a source of income. There were no jobs that she could apply for, and even if there were, she lived in a time where women were to only work at home. There were no food stamps, there were no welfare, no angel boxes, or any aid society to help her. She didn't even have any close relatives, evidently, who could take her in and help her. She's by herself with her only child. She did go and pick grain in the corners of the field where the gleaners did not go. And I imagine that she had managed to pick up what the gleaners had accidentally dropped, because that's what they did in those days. But by now, such was the famine in the land that all that's left of everything is what she has in that barrel, which is just a handful, and a little bit of oil. And it hasn't rained in considerable time. The ground is parched. It's near desert conditions. To add to this, she has this child to take care of who is not yet old enough to work himself, evidently. And it could be, too, that he may have been sickly and unable to do anything to help provide for the house, because we'll read in these next verses coming up here that he will die. The little boy's going to die. And not because of the famine, but evidently he had a sickness. All the woman has then is a little bit of meal and a little oil. And this going for her. This is what she had going for her. She was a godly woman. Now you might say, Brother Darrell, how do you get that she was a godly woman? Well, I think more than anything, the fact that it is that Elijah sent, God sent Elijah to her. And then second of all is that she obeyed what Elijah said. She trusted in the Lord. She does exactly what Elijah tells her to do. She didn't stagger. She didn't say, oh no. The man calls out to her and tells her what to do. And even though by the looks of the man, he is worn out, dusty looking, someone that maybe she couldn't even trust. But by the word of God and by the help of God, giving her the ability to do so, she trusts what he says. What else can she do? Whether she gives him the meal or she eats that meal, they're going to die. It's obvious to her, they're going to die. And so she follows what he says and does what he says. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And the Bible tells us here that not only her, but Elijah and that little fellow of hers continued to eat until the day it started raining and God stopped the famine in the land. I like what verse 16 says there, and the barrel of meal wasted not. Isn't that something? Now, they weren't going somewhere and buying it and filling it back up again. You know that, don't you? What God did was kept refilling it. I love that. I tell you what, there's been a few times when me and old Sister Deb here have been at the end of the month and the money has been at the end of itself too. And you won't believe how the Lord has ministered to us at the end of some of those months. I one time was driving a white station wagon Escort that had Maypops on it. You know what a Maypop is? It's them tires that are so slick that they may pop at any moment. And sure enough, one Sunday morning, they did. I had one explode, and we were on the way to church. And a guy rode by and picked up Dave and the kids, took them on to church. And I did whatever I could to get that car off the road and try to help them do something. Well, somebody helped me go on to church. And I tell you what, it's rough. I mean, it's rough. The very next day, some folks showed up at our door with $500 in cash and a load of groceries. That's the honest truth. The very next day. So I was able to get some tires put on my car and get some groceries. Little church, didn't have much, but they were faithful. And they put that money together to help us. And this is a great story. And it speaks to the fact that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ever ask. And I can't tell you how many mothers that I've known over the years, including my own, who has had to weather some major storms in order to take care of her children. My daddy didn't do right for a number of years. Alcohol had the best of him. And it was in the days when there were no food stamps. None of those things. Fortunately, there was a store there not too far from us to let my mother carry a tab there at the store. Lynn Garden Coal Company there in Kingsport let her get some coal and bring it to the house for us so we wouldn't have a bad winter. Food came sparingly, but we got it, and we come up on one Thanksgiving to have anything in the house to eat. And God sent a man across the street from us with a deer roast. And we had deer roast for Thanksgiving dinner that day. God always does good business, doesn't He? This woman was a good woman. And she probably continued as hard as she could to take care of her child. She sacrificed, even in the face of near death, to help the man of God. And in her generosity, God saw to her need. But also God saw her obedience. And it made a world of difference. Now over in Proverbs 31, there is some incredible words there to what a mom should be, the woman of the house. And this is wonderful stuff, and I concur completely with it. And I don't know if you've ever read this, but sometime if you get an opportunity, read the whole thing for yourself, ladies. For it is a wonderful scripture that will give you some help in your own life. Verse 10 reads, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and sells it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her." By the way, there in verse 20, we can also say that her children call her blessed. Verse 29, "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." A woman can do all the things listed there from verse 10 all the way down to verse 29. But the greater thing is the woman that feareth the Lord. She shall be praised. Now, why is that? Because this woman is more concerned with the salvation of her young'uns of her wayward husband, if that be the case, than anything else. It's good to know Proverbs 31. And ladies, it's a good thing to try to excel at the things of Proverbs 31. There in verse 31 of Proverbs 31, it says, "Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." That will happen to the woman who does the things of Proverbs 31. But the greater scripture that a woman needs to know is not actually found there in Proverbs 31, though that's a great scripture. What that woman needs to know more than anything else is Romans 10. Romans 10, if she knows that, will give her the blessing of blessings, the dividends of dividends, and that is being able to lead her children, and certainly her husband has this same task at hand, to lead her children in understanding that if they will shall call upon the Lord Jesus, they shall be saved. That's the greatest thing. For the scripture saith, verse 11, that whosoever believeth on Jesus, that's to him here, shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I can't tell you how many men of God I've met over my lifetime who all seemingly say that they credit what they know about the Word of God in the sense of it, or began to know the Word of God by what their mother did in teaching them and instructing them while sitting on her lap or at her feet or even in her chastisement of them. I always joke about this, and I love to joke about it with my mom. My brother and I, my sister and I would joke with her that she's one of the best preachers we ever knew, would ever know. Oh, my mama, I tell you what, if you did something wrong, mama would start crying, slinging snot, and quoting scripture. I remember one time, you know, we didn't have a television, but our neighbors did. And boy, I tell you what, I became a fixture at our neighbor's house. For heaven's sakes, the Flintstones are on. Leave it to Beaver. What kid didn't want to? Well, my mother was intent on breaking that habit. And I'll never forget that I came home one day and she met me at the door and she says, "Come here and sit down." She says, "I got to talk to you. And you got to listen to what I'm saying. You're going to wear out your welcome over there if you're not careful." And she says, "Besides, how many times have we talked about the terror of a TV? It can hurt you in the long run if you're not careful." So she went to Psalm 101. You want to read it with me? Psalm 101. And just absolutely use this verse on me every time I went to the neighbor's house to watch television. Psalm 101, there in verse number 3, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." The worst thing that happened to me is my mama went to a revival one time. And at that revival, the little evangelist got up to preach. And his title that night was "The One-Eyed Monster." That's what he called television, "One-Eyed Monster." My mama come home, she says, "See, what did I tell you?" Before long, we sold the TV that we did have. Then she wouldn't let us turn on and bought an engine for a 1952 Ford. This that she knows here is going to be the best for her family. Not Psalm 101, but over here in Romans 10. Now some would say, "Now Brother Darrell, how do you come to that conclusion? Why would that be best?" Well, if you would, go with me now to 1 Timothy. I posted this on Facebook this morning. I said it's good to be a Proverbs 31 woman. But I believe that one of the things that's even better than that is for you to consider being better. 2 Timothy chapter 1. The better thing for you to be is to be like these women. Here is Paul writing to young Timothy. Verse number 2. And he says in verse 3, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And then he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Here's two godly moms that had seen to the spiritual education of young Timothy. And Paul finds great help from Timothy, and Timothy becomes a great preacher, giving himself to the work of the Lord. So, Mother, though your current situation, your present situation may be dire, believe me, if you put your hand to the work of not only your own family, but to anyone's family, of speaking more about the goodness and graciousness of the Lord in the saving of sinners, it'll be a lot more better for them than what you might give them materially. Oh, it's wonderful to be generous with your time, with your talent, and with your tithe. But it's far better and has a greater reward when we give folks that we know from the Word of God concerning Christ Jesus and His redeeming work to save sinners from hell. Long after what you give them has rotted away, the Word of God will still be working. My mom and dad are gone. As I stood down there yesterday at their tombstone, I kept thinking about all the times my mother kept persevering with the Word of God to us and to my father. My father came around in 1974, never touched another drop until the day. Well, never touched a drop again. Faithful to his church, worked in church, was a deacon. And I had to lay that at the feet of my mama, who could have easily divorced him, moved on many, many times. And no one would have been angry with her, not even my dad's parents would not have been angry with her because it was that bad. But she kept praying. She kept preaching. She kept persevering. And God heard her prayers. Looking back at the widow of Zarephath again, I think about this. Here was this woman, lost her husband, hard in a famine. And she kept on trusting. But she was looking for two sticks. Well, she was still looking to the Lord. Because she knew if she died, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, evidently. And she followed the lead of the man of God, did what he said, and look how God blessed them. I can't tell you how many stories people have told me over the years about how bad off they were, and they refused to let the devil con them into throwing in the towel. They refused to let the devil have the best of them and waited upon the Lord. And the Lord intervened and helped them. Mama after mama over the years have told me stories after stories after stories of the goodness and graciousness of God. One last story and I'll quit here. It's not even about me, aren't you glad? There was a man, I think his name was Nahum. And when David was running away from King Saul, They had held up in the area where this man kept his sheep. And David kept the robbers and the thieves from taking them sheep and helped that man out. Well, there came a time when they needed some food. And so David sent down to that man and told him, you know, we've been taking care of your sheep for you and everything else. Can you help us? And that man said, no. And his wife Abigail, man, when she heard that, oh my goodness, her heart just about died inside of her. She knew David to be a man of God, a man after God's own heart, and had done what they said he had done in helping protect their sheep. And didn't he want to treat him this way? So she went behind his back and sent David clusters of grapes and bread and flagons of wine, loaded up on some mules and stuff, and took care of them. And David said, it's a good thing you did, because we were going to come down next day and kill everybody that pisses against the wall. Yeah. That's what the Bible says. Well, sure enough, that man threw a party for himself and died. Bowels released, and he died. God got him. And David went down there and got his widow, married her. She became the wife of a king. She was the wife of a lout. Now she was the wife of a king. David didn't have to do that. But I believe that was her reward for her taking care of the man of God and not listening to that lout and doing what he was doing so evilly. See, that's what women do. That's what mothers do. But that's what God's people ought to do, is stand with Jesus even when the world's on fire around you. You never can go wrong. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for these moms that are here. We ask you, Lord, to bless them. Open their hearts and minds. See to their needs in precious ways. Like you did that widow at Zarephath. As you did, Lord, for Abigail. As you've done for women over the centuries. Even you, Lord, from the cross said to John, behold thy mother. And to Mary, mother, behold thy son. Looking out for his own mom who had been well with him over the years prior to him starting his ministry. Lord, you have a sweet blessing for moms. We thank you for our hours here in this church. Bless them, Lord. Give them inordinate amounts of grace and mercy. And as we think about our moms who have left the world and come to you, Lord, we thank you for the great things that you did to them that helped bring us to salvation. Bless your people now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.